things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 10
edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And this is Huntley's first win edition.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Woo! Quit being a Vikings fan. My gosh. That's what they do.
Hall of Famer. Yep. That was on Packers.com. Fun fact. They had an article where they put on possible future Hall of Famer Brett Hundley. And then it slipped through the cracks, and they had it taken off right away.
Are you serious?
But someone put it on Reddit that it was on there for a little bit.
See, it just takes a second on the internet.
There's their hot take to get the clicks, but someone's like, you went too far.
Packers win 23-16 over the Bears, and it doesn't matter what the points are. It's just beating the Bears,
we
baby.
We beat them. And we even gave them hope at the end, and then we beat them still. Even better.
Yeah, it's, man, it's, what a difference in a week, though. I mean, this is really making me question my judgmental opinions last week, because it's so different from...
We were very open last week.
Very open.
We weren't judgmental. We were just a little glum, is all. Now we're happy again. We beat the Bears.
Clap your hands.
For all the listeners out there, he patted his belly instead of clapping his hands.
Well, that's my happy place. Pat my belly. It's my Italian.
Serviceable offense and serviceable defense. We beat the Bears.
Yeah, it was just nice to see some. I felt last 2 weeks ago. Let's go back. We're recording on Monday, by the way. Last week I just felt like, I mean, nothing was working. You couldn't say special teams even looked good, or the defense, or the off. I mean, there wasn't even one thing. On this game, I felt like there was something in each phase that was better, much better.
Mm-hmm. Question for you.
Sure.
So, put yourself in the shoes of a Viking fan.
Okay.
Everything's going pretty well for you right now. You got Teddy back.
You know what?
You have two losses on the year.
I got a lot of room in my shoes because my feet are so small. I'm a Viking fan.
Okay, I didn't tell you to change your feet. I said to change your shoes, though. So,
Viking, small hands. These are big hands. These are really big hands.
So, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're a Vikings fan. You have two losses on the year. Teddy's back. The Packers lost Rodgers. You're two games ahead going into this, just starting the second half of the season.
Right.
Do you feel good, or does this feel like every other year where you're about to get your heart crushed?
No, they never look at it that way.
You don't think
no,
so?
No, as a Viking fan, no, this is the year. I mean, it's in our town. We're going to play, we're going to be in the Super Bowl. We're going to finally win the Super Bowl. It all comes together. Karma, baby.
That's your Vikings opinion?
Yep.
Because if I was a Vikings fan, I would feel pretty scared that we're going to be one game out at the end of the season. Rodgers will come back. They'll choke and lose to the Bears or Lions, whoever they play. Last game of the year is probably NFC North. And they won't win the division or something. I don't know. You know.
I don't know.
It'll be typical Vikings. I'd be nervous.
We play them the second to last game of the year. I'm not
sure
who they play.
So, Rodgers comes back, second to last
game
of the
year. He's supposed to be back
on
that.
That's his revenge game.
Right.
That's when he breaks Anthony Barr's collarbone. And then we beat the Lions, final week of the season. Vikings lose to the Bears, if that's who they play. but that would be pretty sweet to have them lose to the Bears and lose the division.
Mm-hmm.
Calling it.
Okay, baby.
You heard it here first. Just
write it down. Put it on Reddit.
All right. Injuries.
Okay.
Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery. Aaron Jones looks like will be out 3 to 6 weeks right now. Sprained MCL.
That's the latest I've heard, yeah.
We're recording this Monday night.
Right.
Ty Montgomery, all I know, unless you've heard more, is he re-injured his ribs.
Yep, McCarthy said he should be back next week.
He should?
Yep, that's what McCarthy said.
Good to
said
hear. Yeah. Too many injuries.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
How you
know, it's like every week we get to watch one of our guys get carted off. You know, it's like, jeepers.
What are you going to do?
I don't know what
Fix
you do.
Fix it.
I don't know how. What we talked about yesterday during the game, it's like I think part of it is the possibly the fact that there's so little contact during the preseason and the offseason, I guess. And so I think these guys kind of just get thrown into it really fast. It takes – the first two games of the season really aren't very good usually. They're almost still preseason games because they haven't had that much contact. So I wonder if these guys kind of ramp it up so fast that they haven't gotten in football shape, because there really is a thing about being in football shape.
I think it's a combination of things. I think that's part of it for sure. I think part of it is that every year these guys are getting bigger, faster, stronger, but their ligaments and their tendons aren't. So all these, you know, ACLs, MCLs, non-contact injuries where they're just, they're making a cut.
Right.
Something's tearing. I think you can't make, you know, your ACL stronger because you are stronger.
Right.
So
right.
All you're doing is cutting faster, putting more pressure
more
on
pressure
it.
More pressure on it, yeah. More
attention. And I think that's why we're seeing so many of those.
I also think that there's something to be said for painkillers. I mean, they still
playing
use some pretty strong painkillers that they really don't have the pain until things snap.
As long as they don't smoke weed.
Yeah, that would be horrible. Richard Sherman, did you see his injury with his Achilles?
Yep.
It really was. It was almost, it was a non-contact kind of thing. It was hurt. It was a problem. But it's kind of what you're saying. It just kind of, it was like the last thing and snapped. And that's a bad injury. That takes a long time, and then from what I've heard from players, it's like it's always a thing.
And I think another part of it too is they're very secure in their pads and their helmets. They've had a lifetime of playing in pads and helmets, and they're you know, they spear guys, they throw themselves at them head first.
Right.
You know, you see all the brain damage we're seeing from these guys and the results and the testing and stuff like that, and what it's causing. I think part of it is if you didn't have a helmet that would guarantee you can spear a guy with your head without hurting your head, you wouldn't do that.
That is a thought. You know, there's some people saying that they're...
You see rugby players,
exactly.
They're just as big, just as strong, hit just as hard, but they don't have these injuries.
If you ever watch rugby, they do kind of like the spin. They grab a guy and it's like a shark. When
they
it
use their gravity
yep.
to bring them down.
And then they grab and they hold and they spin as they go down. And that's kind of what Seattle teaches. If you watch their defense, I mean, that's how they tackle. So, wow, we just kind of went way off here.
That's okay. This had to be talked about. I'm sure Goodell's listening. He's writing, taking notes.
Cashing his checks.
Cashing.
That's
what he's writing. He doesn't
deal,
need the checks. He has too much money. He's just writing his notes on the checks.
The Jerry Jones, Goodell, are you following that at all?
Not a ton, actually.
It's
just seems like a lot of news.
It's kind of crazy because I don't think Jerry Jones wants to be the commissioner. I just think he's upset, picking my words, that Goodell had told him one thing about Ezekiel Elliott and then didn't follow through.
I think Jerry just needs to remind everyone that it's Jerry's world.
Like Jerry's stadium.
Yeah, Jerry World.
Okay.
Play calling. Let's move on to play calling.
So much better. So much better. So much better. Did I say it already?
Do you think that's a product of McCarthy adapting to his general suckiness? last week? Or do you think that that's Hundley being more prepared for him to open up the playbook now?
I don't know. I questioned myself on that while I watched the game. It's I guess my hope is that McCarthy did that one game and really did what he said and said that I was just going to let him play it and try to protect him and then open it up, because they really did open it up this one. So I guess I'm going to go there with McCarthy.
What do you think about Capers?
That's different. I don't know how much of it is Capers or some players stepped up, because we had some really good defensive play. I mean, we had one guy who had three sacks, and so that changes the game. So I don't know how much. I honestly don't know. What do you think?
My big thing with Capers, how long has he been on the Packers now?
52 years.
Okay, not how long has he been on in football or on this earth. I don't know what you're giving me right now. I know he's older than that.
I have no idea how long he's been.
I mean, I know it was before this, what would you say, like 2007, 2008 probably? Probably 2008 or 9, I bet, because we had 2010 was the Super Bowl year. We had a year or two before that with Capers. Mm. So I've been watching Capers for many a moon now, and I feel like I can tell you about 80% of the time what he's going to call
you
in any given
really
situation.
Well. You do.
And that's a problem.
Yes, I agree.
Because if I can do that,
yes,
so
I
can
agree.
The other teams.
No, but wait a minute. Let's not sell yourself short. You know, maybe there's another team in the NFC North who might be listening and saying, well, let's see if this guy's right.
So let's say I'm
Six
Capers.
Six-figure income? Just contact us. Through Bleeding Green and Gold.
I don't need a six-figure income.
You don't want a six-figure?
Give me a high two-figure for now. I'll prove myself.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah. So let's say I'm Capers. We're putting a lot of shoes on and hats. We wear many hats in this episode. So let's say I'm Capers. Let's say the Bears are at midfield, 50 or so. Third and eight. Third and 12, anywhere in that area.
Okay.
What am I going to call?
A long three.
As Capers.
You're going to do a blitz.
I'm going to do an all-out blitz.
Yep.
Because that's what I do at midfield.
Yep.
On third down and medium to long.
Every time.
And so every time, what have we been seeing from the other teams?
A screen.
You're doing much better this week.
I'm trying really hard. Have you noticed I'm really focused?
You are very focused. It kills me.
I know.
I know he's going to do an all-out blitz.
Mm-hmm.
They know it. They run the screen. They beat him every time.
Welcome to the Matrix. You want the green pill?
Does Capers have a Twitter? Can I tweet at Capers? Hashtag, it's a screen. Like, I don't really know how Twitter works.
You're right, man. I don't know. Okay. Well,
right.
Anyway.
Let's move on to the offense.
So.
Yeah. Hundley.
He looked to me like, I think there's quite a few. The way he played, it definitely wasn't Aaron Rodgers. But he played well enough that I think there's some teams out there going, I think I'd like to have him on our team as a starting quarterback.
I'd say that's probably McCarthy's goal with Hundley. Get enough film of Hundley that you can get a draft pick for him.
Or a great trade, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Garoppolo got second rounder for the Patriots this year in that trade. Second rounder for a backup is a pretty good draft pick.
It is. It really is. Because it wouldn't be crazy for you to have a starting quarterback that was drafted in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So, I like what I saw from him this game. I think playing the Bears, you don't really realize how they've had a pretty solid defense this year.
They actually have. They've played some tough games.
They've been a top 10 defense all year.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they've played some good offenses. So what do you say, nickname time for Hundley? Brett Favre who Hundley? Yeah.
It might take me another game before I come.
No, no that. Nickname? Okay. He seemed more confident, though.
He totally did. He really did. Mm-hmm. And I saw some stuff before the game where they were talking about some of the in practice where the linemen were saying that he was getting much more vocal in the practice and say, come on.
Good.
And there was one play that I saw one of the linemen said during the game that it was actually a miscommunication between the lineman and Hundley. And the next time it came up, he said, it's on me. It's my fault. We'll get it right this time. Kind of thing. It's like, yep, that's what works. That's what guys want. They mm-hmm. want a leader. They want somebody that's going to lead. Hundley had a perfect passer rating in the fourth quarter versus the Bears. Aaron Rodgers did not have a perfect passer rating in any quarter this season.
So it's Brett Rodgers who, Hundley? Is that what you're saying? He went 18 to 25, 212 yards, and a touchdown mm-hmm. on the game.
Mm-hmm. And it needs to be stated, didn't turn the ball over.
Didn't turn the ball over. I'd say there was only a handful of times he was running backwards out of the pocket,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't sound great, but it's way better than last week.
Yeah, it's
he just seemed a little more confident mm-hmm. in the pocket. I still want to see him step up in the pocket. That we haven't seen that at all, you know, where pocket starts to collapse, and instead of going backwards or laterally, you step up. Because generally, you're going to have a lot softer
right.
pocket up there once it's developed
right.
around you.
Moves around.
And you're going to yeah. have the open passing lanes.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the field.
Right.
It's a very common thing for young quarterbacks to have to work on. Because
mm-hmm.
it's kind of counterintuitive.
Right.
You got these huge guys coming at you.
Yeah.
You want me to go at them.
Right. You want me to run towards the shotgun. Okay. No. Chicago had held opposing quarterbacks to an average of 88.7 rating up until Sunday. And Hundley walked off the field with 110.8 and 8.5 yards per passing. It's just a total difference from last week.
It's kind of what we were saying we were hoping McCarthy was doing when we were like, well, either he's slowly bringing him in for a few games here, you know, building him up to it, or we don't have any clue what he's doing.
Exactly.
But it does seem he's built, because that passer rating, you know, he was built to succeed this game. They were calling plays for him to have this kind of game.
Yep.
But he took advantage of it. He capitalized on those plays, and the ones where they let him go downfield, let him make the big time throw, he made the throw. That's what you need. As a young guy,
well, he
to take
seemed
that
to get more
step.
Comfortable too
he
in
did.
The fourth quarter. That's why I pointed out that the passer rating. It's like
maybe
that's
McCarthy
huge.
Knows more about quarterbacks than we do, but I don't think so.
Okay, Mr. Adams had a great game. He had a great
Mr.
chemistry.
Mr. Adams.
Yep, we got his mother, my wife.
How it works. Okay.
Gave him that name yesterday, Mr. Adams. He had a couple of throws that really were Roger-esque, though. Man,
the back shoulder, in the end zone was the one that really made me go, okay, because his feet weren't set. He was on the move. I'm pretty sure, and he just hit him. You know,
he never looks
like
Rodgers. His feet are set,
you know how Rodgers throws it; the guy has his back to Rodgers, and then he turns around and the ball's there.
Right. Yep.
It was perfect.
Yep.
Very nice to see. You had that one at the end of the game.
The one
trying to ice it, and he hit Adams down the sideline for the one-handed grab. Fun to see. Gives you hope.
It sure does.
Right in here, Mike.
Right here. No, here and here. In the
okay.
heart and in the head.
I didn't mean anything below the belt, but
I didn't go there. I said it all out before you said that. I don't know if you check out Acme Packing Company. They usually have a lot of good articles on there. And they said, again, kind of reiterating what I said, the fact that Hundley looked his best in the fourth quarter when the Packers needed some clutch throws to put the game away deserved to be called out, even as he did show some of the struggles. And his few first starts there, you know, when he came in for Rodgers in the last game. But, man, it was just nice. It just kind of makes you feel good. Like, okay, maybe. It's kind of like when Flynn came in. You know, once you're like, okay, we can make this work. But,
yeah. So all we have, as far as I know, you might have read more, is hamstring injury that McCarthy doesn't seem concerned about.
Right. That's right.
Is that where you're at?
Yeah. And I know we were joking about it beforehand. I scramble with Hundley and I thought he pulled up.
I'm not saying that's
for sure, but I'm thinking that's when it happened. I called it at the time.
During the game, Mike was watching when Hundley broke to the left, scrambled down the field. He goes, I think he hurt himself there. Right there. I think it was right there.
Yep.
And I didn't believe him. And then today they came out and said, or after the game, that he had a hamstring injury. And I knew when I came here to record this episode that would get thrown in my face. So here it is.
It's highlighted, too.
The egg is on my face.
Yeah.
All right. But you don't know it was that play. It could have been before wide that play. It could have been after that play.
It's all highlighted on the screen.
Are you happy? Did you get your moment?
I like the way you did it. That was nice.
I figured you don't get many moments.
No, I don't.
I should really give you your moment.
That's cool. I appreciate that. I'm working hard to get more.
You were too busy writing in your diary, so I knew I'd have to do all the talking.
Texting all my peeps.
Dear diary, today was a good day.
How did you feel with the offensive line? What did you?
Need better pass
They're
protection.
Still skating a little.
Yeah.
Bit.
Needs to get better, but I think it helped to have a more confident Hundley. You know, that kind of goes all around.
Totally. Yeah.
Confident quarterback, confident offense. Hmm. It looked better. Definitely looked better. They're still having a hard time picking up blitzes, though, especially on the blind side. You know, Hundley doesn't have that feel that Rodgers had on the blind side where guys, you know, streaking open at him doesn't really matter because Rodgers just took one step and the guys passed him. It's like, okay.
But part of that is
knowing what your line's going to do.
And you got to look. I mean, Hundley's not looking at the field when you at least have to have one complete look of the field before you
snap.
Yeah.
Because Rodgers would know, okay, this guy's creeping down. There's a chance he's blitzing.
Now, it seems part of to that catch too, Hundley I'm looking at the change turn. From last week to this week. Yeah. I could see him fix that in a week.
Yeah, he's making a lot of progress. Yeah. I think that's what you're kind of going to see, though. He's not a true
rookie.
Been watching the Badgers too much. He's not
There's
a true.
Nothing wrong with that.
He's not a redshirt rookie. he's had a time to develop. Yeah. So you're seeing the skills he's learned, and now he's not relearning those skills. He's just learning how to implement them into NFL games. And I think that's why we're seeing fast progress from him.
Very good point. Very good point. I just feel once he gets to get a better vision on the field, a lot of those situations are going to be. I think he's quicker in the feet than Aaron, and so.
It still is frustrating though to have the same guys, for the most part, you know, on the offensive line, and to go take this big of a step back this year. We were one of the best lines in the league last year, and to have this step back that we've taken and not be able to look at it and go, well, it's because of this and because of this. There's not a solid thing we can pin it on. So it's been frustrating because we're one of the worst at pass protection in the league right now.
Yeah, Rodgers was getting beaten up pretty good before he
got knocked out. He was on pace to over double his sacks from the year before when he went out.
It just it makes you take pause. I mean, that's why he's out.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have enough support around him. And that's one that we talked last week. And, when you have a player of Rodgers' caliber, maybe you don't feel as urgent to fill needs on your team because, you got this guy. And I think that we talked last week. Who's the next guy? I mean, who's our next star?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think part of it with the offensive line is we were talking about the CBA. You know, you had all these changes, same with injuries. You know, they're not wearing pads as much. They're not getting in football shape. Well, it's the same with the offensive line. They're not wearing pads, and they're not working together to develop that chemistry. A lot of them now, they're not even watching film together.
Right.
You know, they have iPads they bring home now. It used to be at least you're in the film room talking about what you need to do. Now, you know, they're at home and they have meetings.
Well, and depending on where what division you're in mm-hmm. college, you can't start right away because you have to graduate for you to be able to go on your professional team. Mm-hmm. That's the agreement that they have with the NCAA. So some schools, you're behind just by the time frame of your graduation.
Yeah, and schools don't really – they don't train offensive linemen for the NFL. They train them to succeed in college.
Right.
And we're seeing that more with the spread offense in college now affecting the NFL. But part of it's too, they just – they don't – I think they only have a couple days of lining up across from a defensive player before the season starts, and then like 14 days during the season that they can wear – you know, hitting in pads during the year for practice.
That's just so short.
It's just, yeah, it's no
see,
time.
They're
learning on the field as they're playing, basically, how to work with each other.
I was old school, man, and it wasn't my choice, but, you know, we did two-a-days in mm-hmm. high school, and there wasn't a water jug. During, I think it was from my freshman to sophomore year, it was a big deal that they had to have some type of water, so they had ice chips. But they just had a small bowl, and because they thought it would toughen you up, you know, and make you a stronger, better player if you got dehydrated. But yeah, I totally see where that would be a factor. But these mm-hmm. they're not out there enough.
They're in preseason form until the end of the season, basically.
Hmm.
It feels like.
Let's talk about the rushing game. We unfortunately, gosh dang it. Two more injuries on the
golly gee. We had yep. Montgomery and Jones went out during the game. As we stated earlier, Jones with the 3 to 6 weeks MCL sprain. Montgomery
more
with the ribs.
The six.
That you said he should be back next week.
McCarthy
so that's good
back.
News. Jamal Williams, how do you think he looked in their absence filling in? We haven't seen much of him.
You know what he looked like to me? He looked like I was watching a Wisconsin Badgers game. He's just a bruiser. I mean, he's going boom. He's just going to go forward. And I think you need a guy like that. And it kind of works hand in hand with Hundley. You know, if you got a guy who can give you even 2.5, 3.5 yards,
a Marshawn Lynch type guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I liked what I saw of him. I know a lot of Packer fans are big on him that watched him in college. They want to see more from him. So it's good that we got to. He didn't really have any runs that got past the second level.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up with 20 rushes for 67 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So just over a 3-yard average. But, you know, not bad. And
there were some of them, though. I mean, he really earned those 3
did.
Yards.
He had that one run on second down where he had three guys he ran through. It was like second and three. He got hit at the line of scrimmage. And he just kept going through
yep.
guys. And
yep.
all of a sudden we had a first down. I'm like,
that's what we want. You want it. That just, I mean, that motivates your whole offense, your whole team.
A grinder.
Yes.
A Gruden grinder.
That's my guy.
Oh, boy. Did you turn down the mic for that?
No, I turned away. Hopefully it didn't distort too bad. But
people are going to be listening in the car and they'll jump and
no, I'm thinking
go into traffic.
They're on their treadmill and all of a sudden they, like, their ears pop out because of that.
What happened? Well, Mike tried to do a Gruden impersonation.
Aaron Jones had 3 rushes for 12 and Monty. Dang.
Monty was
good
looking
too.
Good he before
really,
he went out.
He had 6 rushes for 54 yards, and that 37-yard touchdown was sweet.
The blocking was sweet. Mm-hmm. I might have been able to make that. No, there's no way. But I would have known.
Glad you said it.
I would have known where the hole was.
You would have pointed.
Yeah. Very good blocking in the second level, too, that sprang him,
yeah.
The crack block.
Yeah.
So. It was good to see, you know, everyone working together.
Hundley had 2 rushes for 16 yards. We couldn't figure out while you watched the game if he was hesitant because he was told not to scramble or if he was just hesitant for whatever reason.
We don't know.
Yeah, we're still not sure.
On to receiving. We actually have receiving mm-hmm. to talk about this week.
Mm-hmm.
So you want me to run through the numbers, and then
yeah.
we'll talk about it here? All right. So we had Adams, who had the good chemistry with Hundley that we talked about. 5 receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown. And then Cobb with 3 receptions for 52 yards. Those were the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to actually have some receptions to talk about. Cobb, or not Cobb.
It's actually nice to have offense to talk about, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will stick with Cobb. I have something to say about him. So we'll say it now.
Please
So it
do.
Sounds like I'm not talking in the wrong order, and the listeners don't even know I was going to.
On the edge of my seat.
That big pass in the first quarter to Cobb where he caught it and had, you know, the big run after catch, mm-hmm. I think was big for confidence for Hundley.
I do.
To come into this game, you're playing the Bears, so it's a winnable game, even though we've been struggling. I mean, that, you laugh, but that has been a theme every year we've done this show. Every year we've done the show, there's been a point in the year where things were looking bleak, and then we played the Bears, and we felt better.
Because Jay Cutler was there. He was our team.
You'd think yesterday was any different?
Mm-hmm.
If your things are looking bad, just play the Bears. That should be like our motto.
It's like going to Jamaica. You feel better, man.
But yeah, that big run and catch, I think, gave him a lot of confidence, not just Hundley, but
I agree.
The offense as a whole, like, okay, we can move the ball,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you had Adams looking good as well. I'd like to see him spread the ball around more, get Jordy into the game, get the tight ends into the game.
Well, what I was watching, I don't know if you caught it, though. It looked like, I mean, they're doubling down. And Cobb got that nice pass you talked about in the beginning. But they're really doubling down. And so I think that's why Adams got open more.
Yeah. And part of it, it seems like, I don't know this for sure, so don't quote me, but it seems like he's on a two-read system most of the plays that he's throwing.
Oh, that makes sense.
Where he's got his main read, his second read.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if his main read's not open, he's going to Adams or Cobb. Well, his main read didn't seem to be open much because it was mainly Adams and Cobb catching the ball. So I think that was a lot of second read throwing, going to that second option that, you know, McCarthy's basically laid out for him. It still seems mm-hmm. he's working in the system, and we'll see him spread it out more, I think, in the coming weeks if we keep seeing the progression that we have so far.
And I think what you just talked about there is kind of playing hand to hand what we brought up earlier about Hundley's play, in that part of it that makes it so different week to week is that he seemed so much more comfortable and was seeing more of the field. He still needs to get better at that, but from week to week, I would say it was quite remarkable.
When he came in for Rodgers, I wasn't even sure he was seeing outside the pocket, you know, because every time there was any kind of pressure, he was running out. So I think he was more focused on the pocket. Now, you know, like you said, he's expanding his vision of the field.
You know, honestly, if he just gets a little bit better and then holds that, I'd be perfectly happy.
Part of it, not only has he not been an NFL starter yet, but he also hasn't played football meaningfully in quite a while. You know, you're the big guy on campus when you're in college. Then you get
UCLA.
Then you get drafted, and you're behind Rodgers. You just don't play. He's probably rusty, too.
Yeah, you don't play with the big guys.
No.
I mean, you're playing with the scout team. Because obviously you're going to have your main people play your main quarterback. So
no one wants to be Favre's backup.
Yeah, but you know what? I just love the difference from week to week.
Should we move on to defense?
Yes, because I feel as happy as I am about the offense, I feel that about the defense because they stepped up.
You feel good?
I do.
About our defense?
I do.
Wow.
Yes. Do you want me to say it again?
Sure.
I feel good about our defense.
Okay.
Did it sound sincere?
No.
It didn't?
Not at all.
Oh.
Yeah, I think you went on the other end of the sincere spectrum.
I did?
It kind of sounded like you were a robot. I feel for the first time.
Can I do a do-over?
Sure.
I'm really excited about how our defense worked yesterday. They were so much better.
Maybe I just don't believe you.
dude.
Maybe that's where the sincerity is not bridging the gap here. Well, I've learned after many years. We held them to 16 points on the game.
Yes.
It was 9 up until, you know, the end of the game. That long touchdown pass into the end zone by Trubisky. I think Inman was the one who caught it. He had a good game, by the way.
He did. He's
a reliable receiver who, yes. Like they said during the game, is looking to get a bigger role.
I think
if he keeps it up, he will.
Well, they got that that rookie tight end that is freaking monster.
I was hoping we would draft him, actually, but I knew we wouldn't. Right. I knew there was no way, but it would have been nice.
He's good. I mean, he's all what they wrote about.
Yeah, he is.
The Trubisky, I think, is going to be a force. I mean, he is looking better and better as the season goes on. Like, I know you talked about it. It's kind of similar to how we're dealing with Hundley now, bringing him in. But he wound up 21 to 35 for just under 300 yards. And he had one touchdown. He had one pass play that was really nice. It was 46 yards to Josh Bellamy. His passer rating was 97. And he didn't turn the ball over.
I mean, they've done the same thing we talked about last week, where they're progressing in how much they open him up and allow him to throw the ball. At the beginning of the year, there was one game, I think he had 8 completions or 8 throws, something like that. It was crazy, and they ran the ball almost 60 times. So, you know, they've been very careful with him, but I think that's smart. You sold your team for this guy.
For
a guy who wasn't on other teams, as far as we know, radar.
Right.
So it's not like they were going to take him out from under your feet. But
I think he's good.
They were guaranteeing they didn't, because they see something in him. And so if you're going to bet your future on him, don't worry about making the playoffs this year, winning the Super Bowl this year. Just let this be his rookie year.
Which is hard, man.
It is hard.
You know, you got people spending $150 a game for a season ticket, and they're like, oh, no, we're not going to try this year. What'd you think of the last few minutes?
And they are trying, though. They put up a fight every game. The Bears.
Yeah, and, you know, they beat a team like Pittsburgh. I think they were tough on Carolina, too, weren't they?
They beat Carolina.
They beat Carolina. Okay.
And Pittsburgh. Yeah. What were you asking?
What do you think about that? You mentioned during the game that you felt like we got lucky. It was rolling out on defense.
When, you know, we had that field goal at the end there, that would have been the dagger. Because that would have made it a 2-score game. It was a bad hold by Vogel. Mm-hmm. He fumbled the snap, and then Crosby's kick went way to the right, because basically it looked like the ball was crooked, and Vogel just was like, well, it's good enough, and he took his hands off because, you know, there's a foot coming at him. And
unfortunately, that's really a good description of the play. That really is how it happened. It's
well,
like,
thank you.
Seriously?
I was watching it in my head as I said it.
Sean Tube.
And that kept it a 1-score game for the Bears to get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching them, you know, we were playing typical don't lose the game defense, you know, make them win it. And we weren't getting pressure. We were playing off on the receivers. Even after the plays developing, the receivers, it seemed like most of them had 2 steps on our guys.
Well, I think every play they had, it seemed like it was over 10 yards.
Yeah. But luckily, the Bears just kind of, I felt like, choked on
the
offense.
Bears were Bears.
Yeah, they really bared it up at the end to help us out. But I was not impressed by the closing drive.
So that's
but
going back. Is that Capers?
I think so. I never am impressed how he handles pressure situations.
They always play it so cautiously soft.
He's a let them make the mistake guy.
Yep.
And
I don't know how much of that is your personnel or if that's just him all the time, because we never seem to have a healthy defense. They're always filling.
Yeah, and it could be personnel because, you know, Capers is such a man-to-man guy. You know, he loves man-to-man. We saw that a ton when he first got here. Super Bowl year, a lot of that. You had the, what did he call it? Like the fire blitz, was it?
Oh, it was
fire zone?
Suicide blitz, wasn't it?
Fires. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Where you had no down linemen.
It's like all 10.
And weird blitzes. Yeah. You don't see that anymore, and I think that's the personnel. You know, we have to play a lot of zone to cover up holes in our defense. Hmm. But then if you don't communicate well, your zone falls apart.
So I mean,
and so you're talking about bad assignments and, you know, bad plays on the defense. I think part of that is misreading the zone. A guy does this, I need to do this, they're doing it wrong. But you can't play man where the communication is easier because we don't have the talent.
Like three or four times in a game where you'll back up the game and you'll point out, look at this guy.
He should have been here, but he went here.
And so, I mean, so do you give Capers credit for calling the right play and the guy just had the wrong thing in his head or what?
Well, I'd say calling the right play is half of his job.
And then the other
making
half
sure the guys know what to do when he calls that play is the other half. Yeah.
I agree. Okay. So how about Nick Perry, man?
Nick Perry.
Man.
6 tackles, 3 sacks. We've been waiting for another big game from him.
You know what? Nick Perry played that game like a Packer Bear game. He was just in there, and he was playing tough, tossing guys aside.
He was like a young Matthews.
I thought I was surprised that nobody got upset. Like, he actually picked up a guy, threw him into the stands, and hurt somebody. But there's no lawsuits, as I saw it today. But
well, the rule is you can't throw the ball into the stands because you might
just
hurt
the
guy. There's no rule against the guy.
Okay, so 6 tackles and 3 sacks. 3 sacks.
Yeah. He was causing a lot of, you know, chaos, basically. And I think part of it is Matthews also had a big game. He didn't have the numbers, and he hasn't had the numbers in many games this year and last year?
Pretty much.
Maybe a little bit more.
I was trying to think of one this year.
He gets
year.
Dinged up so much.
Yeah.
But he still causes a lot of disruption on that line. You know, they double-team Matthews, letting other guys get open, or Matthews does an end around, loops around the line, and you get guys out of place because you have to keep an eye on Matthews.
Right, and so
he may not be getting the numbers, but he's still causing numbers.
See, I felt like I saw more of that in this game. Remember last, I kind of called him out last game.
Oh, last game was bad all around.
It just wasn't there, but it was the first time the Bears opponent had 3 sacks in a game since David Hawthorne for the Saints in December 15th, 2014. At Soldier Field. It was the first time a Bears opponent had 3 sacks in a single game. I mean,
I'm surprised you remembered that.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it was cool to see. We're going to need that.
Totally.
We need our defense to step up if we're going to stay in this playoff race. And to do that, we need our front seven's pressure that they're getting to step up because we don't have the talent or the guys healthy in the secondary. We need quick pressure to cover up that secondary.
I agree.
So it was
Martinez,
nice to see.
My boy. Dang, he's always in the play.
Yeah, he didn't have the numbers this game. I think he ended up with 3 tackles overall, but he's everywhere.
He's always there.
You know, you see a guy go down getting tackled and Martinez is standing there staring down at him. Like, he's there no matter what.
What do you think about Kevin King's play?
He almost had an interception.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. He just couldn't get his arms out.
He had another one where he got beat big. But, you know, it's
dude,
football.
Let's move on.
Kevin King.
He doesn't get brought up that often, but he seems to be, you know, red or green. You know, he's either there or not.
You see that a lot with, you know, secondary players their rookie year. They're going to make mistakes. But I've liked what I've seen from him. He does get dinged up a lot. He's going out all the time with injuries, it feels like. But, you know, you can't read into that. We're halfway into his first year. What I've seen so far. I think he's progressing. He seems willing to tackle. Which
yes.
I know sounds silly.
Yes.
When we're discussing a football game.
No, I am so into that. Yes. I'm trying to look up. I'm sorry to throw you off. Keep going with what you're doing. I'm just trying to look up the penalties because I think the Bears had an extraordinary number of penalties. Do you know if it's on this page?
Yeah, it's 8 penalties for 78 yards.
So almost a whole field. And we turned down a couple, two or three.
We did turn down a few. We had 5 penalties for 35 yards. But yeah, the Bears had a lot. They had that one pass, defensive pass interference where, you know, you thought it was, or I thought it was, I could see why they called it, but it was ticky-tack, and you thought they just shouldn't have called it pretty early on in the game. You remember that?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, they've been getting a lot of penalties all year.
They have. You know who's one of the worst as far as penalties this year?
Who is that?
Seattle.
Oh, I believe that. They get a lot of penalties. Mm-hmm. They play that kind of football.
They do.
Though.
I mean, they are chippy from the whole thing, even after the whistle.
I mean,
can I give you props?
No. Save it for after.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. No, save it.
I just wanted to – we kind of talked about it earlier, that play on the pylon at the goal line where –
Oh, we're...
I want to talk about the John Fox calling the...
I didn't put that in the script, did I?
No. But Sean, unlike him...
They goofed.
I am willing to just, without anything attached, and just say, that was awesome. That you, I mean, you were freaking fast on that. You go, hey, if he doesn't have control of it...
I don't talk like that.
You did, too.
No, I said, hey. No,
knew right away. I mean, and that's the problem with Sean is like, I mean, he knows this stuff, and it's like I can't argue with him because if I go and Google it or look up what we in our notes, he's gonna be right.
Well, when the play happened, so in case you didn't get to see it or if you don't remember this play, the Bears. Who was it for the Bears?
Didn't want to go there because
the Bears players diving. For the end zone. He dives for the pylon, and I think it might be the Titan, but he dives for the pylon, reaches out the ball, and hits the pylon with the ball.
But, I mean, and he's trying to drag his feet in to stay inbound. Yeah. So you got that
he's
going.
He's trying to drag his toe. They call him out of bounds at the half-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And right away I thought he might have lost that ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have possession of the ball and it hits the pylon or goes out of the end zone, it's a touchback, and the other team gets it. Stupidest rule in football.
It's the
by
one.
Far the stupidest rule in football, but it's a rule at this point.
And thanks to Sean,
I looked at you
it.
And I said, "Is McCarthy gonna challenge?" And then John Fox throws the challenge flag. I'm like,
"And what did I say to you?" When
I asked
did
him,
that?
"Can?" Because right away when he threw, I said, "Hey, can that end up being good for us?"
Yes.
And you're like, yes, it can. Yes, I was like, I think we get the ball.
I've seen it too many times. And you know what? There's been multiple coaches that have been fired at the end of the season because of embarrassing calls like that.
Yeah, so they dove for the pylon. They called him out. They ruled that his toe stayed in long enough for him to fumble it, and the fumbled ball hit the pylon, giving us the ball at the 20. John, you just replayed it before we started recording here. John Fox's, their head coach, his face
when
they announced it, he didn't even realize that was a possibility.
Right.
He was just
whiplash. This way or that way. And also, he's just like, what?
And then you see him accept it. He was so angry. And then you see him accept it. He closes his eyes. You see him let out like all his breath. He's just like, oh, no. I done it good. So that was fun. That was about as that's as Bearsy as you can get, right?
I mean,
there.
That's you always have one of those in a Bears game. It was just
Between that and the penalties, they shot themselves in the foot a few times on offense.
Yeah. And that's part of it just to throw out there. I didn't put it on my script, but it's kind of hard to get too excited about winning because you beat the Bears. You know, I mean,
you beat the Bears, man.
I get that. But I mean, not excited like we're good now. You know, it's just the Bears.
Well, this was our first time going into a Packers-Bears game with the series lead since the 30s. Now we have a 2-game lead. We're never giving that sucker back. but yeah, it was fun. Just like the last game, they focused a lot on defense of shutting down the run game. Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen have been, you know, huge for them this year on offense.
Oh, that was nice to see.
Just pounding the ball, and we held, I think Cohen only had one run, but Jordan Howard was held to 54 yards on 15 rushes. He had a long at 25, so actually what that is 29 yards on 14 rushes. That is a good average right there.
It really was good. I mean, it just seemed like the whole team stepped up more so. It was fun to watch to see
hopefully
offense and defense. So
this is a confidence game for not just the offense, but the defense.
Yeah.
We can win without Aaron. We can hold this team together till Aaron gets back.
That's right.
We'll see moving forward here.
So, unfortunately, you got to go to a little place that's not as rosy.
Hey, I mean, special teams. Crosby, I was fine with. I thought he had a good game.
Yeah, he did.
You're playing Soldier Field is one of the worst fields for kicking in the league. You know,
it's one of the worst fields for people getting injured.
It's one of the worst fields in the league.
Yep.
And it was pouring during this game. I did not expect much out of Crosby as far as consistency, but we got it. He hit a 50-yarder, which is asking, that's more like a 60 in that weather because you got to really kick that sucker.
I can tell you, in Chicago, it really, when they talk about whipping around, it really is. It's so, yeah, kudos to him.
He hit both his extra points. The only one he missed was the last field goal where it was the bobbled snap by Vogel. So really not on him for any of it.
No.
And then Vogel had four punts, average of 38 yards. The big knock against him is the bobbled snap.
Yep.
Davis, our kick returner, though, a few nice runs, nice returns. He had that one really nice one called back by the penalty.
Right.
I think he got past midfield.
I think it was a 30-yard penalty.
Called back to the 21-yard line. That's a killer. But still, it's fun to see him fielding punts. You always see that with the young guys. You know, the young speedsters that start getting punt or kick returns, they have the confidence. They're not going to go out there and lose their starting receiver position. They're not going to lose their starting cornerback position. They can go out there and I don't remember who said it one time, but I remember a player one time, I saw an interview with him. He said, I like returning kicks. It's, you know, punts are the best. You're staring up at the ball, you catch it, and then there they are. It's like catching punts on a freeway. And I'm like,
wow.
God, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, no.
But you know, you see the young guys seem to have more confidence.
Wow,
they're willing to take more risks.
That's an interesting analogy. Wow. Well, anyway, that to me, I don't, not to take anything away from Crosby, but on the special teams, I think Trevor Davis kind of took the day. I mean, he just looked like he was finding his vision so much better. And I don't know how much of that is the blocking or whatever, but again, all phases played better than last week. Offense, defense, special teams.
I
think the play calling was better. So it took us to get really negative on.
Let's move on to final thoughts.
Okay.
We beat the Bears. We've said it a few times, but we'll say it again. We beat the Bears.
The it's Bears go
always
down.
Always
eh?
Good to beat the Bears.
The
best
Bears.
Rivalry in football.
Nah, let's beat the Bears.
Just kind of recapping the progress we're seeing from Hundley. Hopefully that continues. Hopefully our season continues. But it's fun to see. I don't know if fun's the right word, because obviously I'd prefer to have Rodgers in there. But it is kind of fun to see something different.
It is totally. It's
been so many years
up.
Of Favre and
yes,
Rodgers that
right.
It is, you know, it's like playing the same game of Madden over and over. it's something different.
Man, that's really ironic you brought that up because I was thinking of that during the game. It's like, I just want to see us have a chance. And I just didn't feel that last week. But, boy, this week I thought it was good. We've got the Ravens coming up. And I know we're going to talk about it because we got to pick our
– Let's talk about it now.
But when I saw – this is the difference in a week. The Ravens have a great defense. And then our next game is Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is just kind of schizophrenic because some games are really good on offense, some games are really good on defense.
Bipolar.
But After this week, I'm much more optimistic on those two games than I was after last week.
I agree. I'm optimistic about the Ravens game. That's a winnable game. They have a good defense, but their offense has been just in shambles for most of the year.
Did you hear anything on Flacco? Because I know he got hurt.
I did not even know that.
Yeah, he got hurt in the game.
The Steelers will be a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know their offense, they've been trying to find their rhythm a lot of the season, but defense, they are solid.
Oh, they are tough, yeah.
That'll be a big test. Mm-hmm. Both of these, Ravens and Steelers, will be a big test for Hundley here. But
isn't it crazy how different it is? You know, you look at them when Aaron's in there, and you kind of go, we should.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, maybe.
You know, we're playing the Steelers. Might be one or two less touchdowns for Rodgers than normal. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's just nice to know we can actually compete. That was the biggest thing I took out of the show.
Yeah, I think if the offense can continue to learn to develop around Hundley and, you know, just move the ball more, create more points, if our defense can stay serviceable, we'll see.
Okay.
You know.
Are you ready for the game ball? It's your pick this week.
It's my pick?
Yep.
Ready? All right. Nick Perry.
Oh, going out of your comfort zone, are you?
Who you want me to pick? He had 6 tackles, 3 sacks.
Yeah, he was just.
And that last sack he had was very timely, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he deserves it for sure. Hundley, of course, had a good game. There was a few.
I think Mr. Adams.
Yeah, there was
a
lot of good performances by the team.
Yep.
This game, which is nice.
Isn't it?
Because, you know, last week you picked the grounds crew.
Yeah, because it looked really nice. That's so, the best looking thing that happened in the game.
All right. So, in case you guys didn't know, Mike Reagan has a voiceover business. Voice guy next door. If you want this silky voice to be the voice of...
Hey, even if you want his silky voice.
Hello, ladies.
Where's the sock on the
door? You weren't supposed to laugh.
Yeah, whatever you want. I mean, but no, thank you. Just voice guy next door. It's just like it is. Voiceguynextdoor.com. And then I got contact information. I also have my couple of demos up there, but I certainly can do a lot more than that. Also, one of the things a lot of times that people, they like to do like corporate videos and instructional stuff and videos, and they might need like background music or something like that. I can help you with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's voiceguynextdoor.com.
Before you entered the field, I didn't even know how much stuff had voiceover. Mm-hmm. Like we have that video we're putting on our website.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the voiceover work on that. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere, and you don't realize it because it's just a voice.
Yeah,
you don't see the guy saying it.
Stuff,
yeah, yeah. it's interesting.
And people, it's been tested over and over again on doing, like, a lot of people, like, they'll do a really nice-looking video, and they'll have just, like, music behind it, and then they'll do one that's a really nice-looking video with somebody explaining it, a narrator,
mm-hmm.
and the retention rate's, like, way over the top. Because you're helping explain.
With the voiceover on it, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, voiceguynextdoor.com, enough of that. Okay.
Voiceguynextdoor.com. Big scores from around the league. Man,
they are just on a freaking roll.
The Saints continue to roll. 47-10 over Buffalo. Good offense,
Buffalo
good defense.
Last week they blew it. They were supposed to be tough. I think it was the Jets that they were playing. And they lost that one big time. And now they just, wow, the Saints are looking really, really good. Offense and defense.
Exactly. 38-24 for Detroit over Cleveland. That's more just a big score for Packer fans because we're following how Detroit's doing. Let's see here. The Jaguars beat the Chargers 20-17. The Jaguars continue to roll mm-hmm. as well. That defense is
it's
continuing
really
to do its thing.
It seems to get better as the year goes on.
It does. Other big scores, the Vikings 38-30 over Washington. The Rams cannot be stopped, 33-7 over Houston. Atlanta 27-7 over Dallas.
Are the Giants tanking on purpose, do you think?
Who knows what they're doing?
It's just some of the stuff they do.
It was such an ugly game. I tried watching it a little because I had Sterling Shepard in fantasy, and I was like, I'll check after the game how he did. I don't want to watch the 0-7 Niners play the 1-7 Giants or whatever.
Oh, I know. Actually, there were some good moments. Yeah. I did watch it, but
because there was no defense, that's the only reason there was good moments.
That's exactly. What's up with Denver's defense?
I don't know, man. What's up with Denver's defense? This is a Packers podcast.
I'm looking at them, and they keep giving up these points. I mean, they were like, we don't need a quarterback. Yeah. We're so good. But 41-16, New England. I get it's Tom Brady in New England, but, man, it's just they've done it multiple times this year.
All right. We're moving on to picks.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
After just a... you know, insane round of picks last week where we didn't pick anything different from each other. You are still up by two.
Two, 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 two.
So, Lions at Bears. Who you got?
I got to go Lions.
You're going Lions?
Yeah.
Over the Bears?
Yes.
All right, me too. I'm not even going to try to sell you on that one. Rams at Vikings.
See this. Do you want to go? Go ahead.
I'm taking the Rams. I think they have the same record, don't they? They both have two losses, or did the Rams have three?
No.
Two losses each?
I think it's two each.
Okay. In Minnesota.
Man, I got to go with the Rams, but they are playing so good.
Really?
Seriously, don't give me that stink eye. I'm serious.
Teddy's back.
They're not going to play him. Casey is kicking.
Yeah, he had four touchdowns.
I should say. I'm sorry. Sorry for the why.
He had four touchdowns, and you're still going to bet against him.
Yep.
At home.
Yep.
Great defense.
Ravens at Packers.
Gah. You just don't want me to close this gap.
Why would I?
I'm taking the Packers. You know I'm taking the Packers.
That makes both of us.
I always take the Packers. I'm not a homer, but I always take the Packers.
So are you writing anywhere? You got any author stuff that you're putting up anywhere I can read your stuff besides listening to you on Bleeding Green and Gold podcast?
Yeah. Actually, you might have found our show on packtothefuture.com.
I love that name.
We're one of the radio shows on there. It's a good site to get a wide variety
of
Packer
of
news.
There's multiple
radio shows. A lot of articles being written. There's videos up. It's a good site.
Mm-hmm.
I also write a weekly article on there called the NFC North Report. It kind of just breaks down either how the team played the week before or just a small thing about them at this point in the year.
And just keep up.
You know,
I do a couple
paragraphs for each team.
Yeah,
I'm usually a little biased. I do an extra paragraph for the Packers, but whatever.
You can be okay with that.
And then it also looks just quickly at their next matchup.
I like it because it helps me, because I don't spend them, and some people do, but I just don't spend that much time keeping up with our NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be able to keep up.
Division race is pretty big deal when it comes to playoffs.
Big right now, especially.
It is.
So where can I find it again?
Packtothefuture.com.
Okay.
You can either go to the NFC North report or you can check out Bleeding Green and Gold on there. We appreciate all our listeners. We appreciate you supporting the show. Leave us a review on iTunes if you want to help us grow. Rate the show. Share it with your friends. You know, go wild.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those things. Like, it's free. So this is kind of your way, if you could, help pay back.
Yeah. And join the Facebook group. Just go on Facebook, type in Bleeding Green and Gold. There you are. You can join the conversation. It's also the easiest way to get your voice put up on the show.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you very much. It's fun to be able to chat with, it's living in Viking land, to have other Packer fans to support us. So until next week,
go Pack, go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!